The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of October, Sunday. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. The title of my message tonight is The Flawless and the Lawless. The Flawless and the Lawless. And there's only one thing out there that's totally inerrant and totally flawless, and that's the Word of God. We see over in Psalms 12 where God says, He will preserve His Word. In other words, there's a lot of people out there don't believe God can do that. They don't think He's done that. Well, this King James Bible in front of me says otherwise. But anyhow, we're going to start tonight in 2 Peter chapter 2. And here we're going to see these are the words that the Lord had told Peter. Now, Peter is seeing them come true right in his own time, right before his eyes. And we pick it up there in verse 1 of chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. I want to just jump 1 minute here to some commentary. And I was listening to Congressman Matt Gaetz, Louie Gohmert, and Marjorie Greene. They were talking about the filthy conditions of the horrible D.C. jail. They said that whenever one of the Christian patriot heroes of the faith would ask to see their lawyer in person, they would be put in quarantine for 14 days, even though they were behind plastic windows. Now, many of our heroes of the faith have been beaten and in every way mistreated, and they have been denied bail, not allowed to shave or to cut their fingernails or toenails. These heroes of the faith were being obedient to the word of God by resisting tyranny. They were there January 6, 2021 to protest the theft of the 2020 election by the Antichrist Democratic Communist Party. The insurrection, as it was claimed, against the patriots was actually carried out by the following: Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, rogue FBI agents, dirty cops, DC, dirty DC cops, Antifa, burn, loot, and murder, and a host of other bad actors like the fake news media and the D.C. mayor. Justice will not be served until all of the corrupt players mentioned above are serving time in that very same filthy D.C. jail in which they put the patriotic heroes of the faith are being held. Now, by the way, folks, there were 570 riots by Antifa, burn, loot, and murder that turned violence, where fires were set, buildings were destroyed, and people were killed. And other Democrats, they didn't need bail, no. They were told to keep burning and keep looting. In fact, Kamala Harris set up a fund to get them out of jail so they could go back out and do it again. Anyhow, going over to where we started in Peter here, when he says, but there were false prophets among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies. Well, boy, we have them, and we have them in much greater number than Peter did, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reasons of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Well, that's exactly what's happening on many fronts. You know about how the Biden crime cartel is the gatekeeper. Their job, the Biden crime cartel, is to keep the doors open on the southern border. And that's what they've done. They've kept the doors open for the drug dealers to bring fentanyl in, and for the human smugglers. And right now, this is what they're doing. They're making merchandise of the young people, getting them hooked on drugs here in America today. But that also applies to the cults out there, the cults that say that Christ is the Son of God, but he's not God the Son, that deny the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah and the eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, waxed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Well, here, it's an interesting thing, because the definition of lawlessness, obviously, the primary is living contrary to the law, but there's a second definition, and that's the word iniquity. Lawless and iniquity are interchangeable. They're literally one of the same. And here now, today, as we continue to preach the gospel, was an interesting thing, because when the Pope was asked about LGBTQ, about, you know, why he didn't preach about against LGBTQ, his response was, it's not his job to judge. In other words, do you understand what he was saying? Here, what our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's supposed to be the vicar. Well, he's the vicar, but not a God, believe me. When the gospel preached out, when the Bible tells you that these people are worthy of death, they're worthy of death, as Peter has preached. In fact, we're going to get to that here in a minute, okay? The wickedness, and today when they're not only are they promoting the sin of sodomy, Not only are they promoting the sin of sodomy, I mean, they're promoting it everywhere. Everywhere you turn, the public school system, the government now, the military. Not only are they promoting sodomy, but as a legitimate lifestyle, but they're actually promoting it as a preferred lifestyle. Well, it's not a lifestyle at all. It's a death style. It's a death style. And here, yet, you've got, even the Pope says he's not going to judge it. Well, you know, God's word has already judged it. And unfortunately, he's judged you too, Pope, because you have turned your back upon the word of God. You've turned your back upon what God has, what this Bible, the word of God, is teaching. And so here, he's referring to this about their uncleanness. Uncleanness, okay? And the after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, the lust of their uncleanness. And they despise government. So what's he talking about? Well, they despise legitimate government, not what we have today. Listen, I despise what we have today because it's illegitimate. It's corrupt. It's very, very corrupt, okay? And so we are to despise very, very corrupt. The Bible says to be ye angry, but sin not. And here again, and today we see these false teachings. We see the promotion of this sin on radio. We see it on television. We see it on the internet. Hollywood, big time, everywhere you go. No, your woke corporations are promoting sodomy too. It's, and again, the very first time the word abomination was used, it was to describe what the public school system, what Hollywood, what the entire Democratic Party is trying to promote as a preferred lifestyle. He goes on to say, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, this is something, too, that often people misunderstand. That word dignities is referring to angelic beings. It's referring to heavenly and angelic beings and heavenly beings. And here, you know, as people out there will be blasphemous and say all kinds of evil things against God himself and against the Holy Spirit. And remember how they blasphemed the Lord by calling the Holy Spirit that dwelt within our Lord Jesus as Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. And so here, as he goes on to say, being not rallying, whereas angels which are greater in power, angels which are greater in power and might, bring not rallying accusations against them before the Lord, but there is a natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of these things that they understand not. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the time, in the daytimes. Spots are they in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, whereas they feast with you. Well, here again, this is another one of those passages that's misunderstood. What he's saying here, Lord, folks, is, as I was saying today when I preached this message, when we, how much chicken and ribs do we consume when we have the Lord's table? People looked at me with a strange look. What do you mean? We don't consume ribs or chicken or anything else. We take the Lord's table. We take the Lord's table. It's the wine and the wafer. And what are you talking about? Well, you see, this is what they were doing there. They were eating. They were having a feast. And then they were when the saints would meet to take communion, to take the Lord's table, these people would show up and bring all kinds of food, and that would desecrate the Lord's table. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Well, you see, wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbid the madness of this prophet. Well, this is what, you know, in a way, he was a prosperity prophet. That's what he was. He was one of the prosperity. He was willing to try to sell the gospel. I remember T.D. Jakes saying that Jesus is our product. He is what we market. Folks, the gospel is not capitalism. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbid the madness of the prophet. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. You cannot go out there. And, you know, God had told him. God didn't allow him. He would shut his mouth up when he would go to prophesize against Israel for money. God wouldn't allow him to do it. When he would open his mouth, he wouldn't say what he intended to say, but what God would allow him to say. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mists of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought to bondage. For if they, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome, the later end is worse than them in the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog returned to his vomit, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. Well, here what he is saying, look, for those that are that truly understand, they hear the gospel, they understand it. They understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They understand the preaching. And after hearing it and after understanding it, maybe dwelling on it, somebody comes along and says, look, I got something better for you than that. I can make you rich. I mean really rich. You don't need that. Then they turn. They turn away from the gospel. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the end for them. When that happens to them, well, there's no turning back. They knew it, and they rejected it here. Let me read you that again. For it had been better for them had they not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb. Well, here now, it's an interesting thing. The dog turned to his own vomit again. Now, five times in Scripture, sodomites are referred to as dogs. Sodomites are referred to as dogs. And what they do is referred to as vomit. Their lifestyle is vomit. And then here, and the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, to desecrate something, the altar, they would take a sow. A sow is one of the most hated things. a female hog, and they would offer that female hog up on the altar, and this was the highest form of desecration, because not just to offer the hog was desecration, but to offer the female hog was even more of a desecration. And that's why they would do that, offer a female hog upon the altar. And so, I think I'd like to turn over now to Acts chapter 2. And if we go to Acts chapter 2, and I'll be there in just 1 minute. Folks, I'm still have very little use right now in my left arm from my accident that I had. And so I've learned how to do just about everything. And I'm telling you, getting dressed with one arm, I really now have a high respect for people that only have one arm. I guess you learn, but I know trying to get dressed with one arm is a challenge. And I know that this morning I tried for about 30 minutes to tie my tie, and couldn't do it. With one arm, you can't do it. Anyhow, I'm over and out now in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 28. And here, today, we have the key, the Word of God, the King James Bible. Here today, they preach like me to remind them, like Peter is doing, that there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. That's what this passage is about. Those that have heard the gospel and understood and have yet rejected it, again, their fate is sealed. And this is what we just read it over in the other passage there. And so here, we're going to take a look at this. And you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Now, here's the thing. This determinate counsel, the first definition on that, okay, would have been like the Sanhedrin. But also, in another sense, that counsel by the apostles' understanding and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So here, when we take a look at that determinate counsel, it reminds me very much of the January 6th, what they call Select Committee. The January 6th, totally, totally corrupt. Now, the determinate counsel, there was no defense, only a prosecution. In the January 6th so-called Select Council, there is no defense, only prosecution. It's absolute tyranny. And you had wicked, wicked people on there, like Lynn Cheney, who hates Christians, and like in those days, they determined the council how the Jews there hated Jesus. He goes on to say, and by wicked hands have you crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. In other words, the Lord Jesus defeated death and hell. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, okay, about David. The Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, but David would sit at the right hand. The Lord Jesus said he would be sitting at my right hand. And so here now, for it is on my right hand, and that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because the Lord had told David he would be sitting at his right hand. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Now, when he says, neither would thou suffer the holy one to see corruption, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ shall never see death. He defeated death in hell. He defeated death in hell, okay? And so, the corruption means that here the Lord will not have a body that dies and rots in the grave, okay? But he will have a glorified body. And that's exactly what he had. And like we said at the beginning, what David is saying is virtually there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. There's an empty tomb there. And so here, he goes on, thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and shall make full joy with thy countenance. My men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him of that fruit of the loins according to the flesh, he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne. Well, exactly. Exactly. And say so, Christ would sit on the throne of David, and David would sit at the right hand of the Lord. And so, let's now turn. You know what I did here? I'm over here, and I don't have any water. So I'm going to have to see if I can step over here to where I think I may have some water, because I've done a lot of preaching today, and I'm getting a little parched. Yes, I found some water. And so now I'm going to... That's another thing that's very difficult to do with one arm, is even get back in your chair. And so I want to turn now over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and take a swig of this nice cold water. Second Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is warning believers not to form relationships, well, with the worldly, or, well, actually the Democrats of his day. It's what, you know, we would call them the Democrats of his day, because it would weaken their faith, commitment, their integrity, and their standards. So today we have such people. Well, we've heard people say that, well, they don't allow their faith to interfere with their politics. Folks, let me tell you something here. From Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every priest, every man of God, every preacher, and none ensued this like the Lord Jesus himself. Their faith and their politics were inseparable. They were one of the same, one of the same. And here, today, well, people, very wicked people to say these such things as this, who, and I can't believe how they can actually go out and profess to be Christians, like that Warnick, that Warnick, who actually pastors a church that's in Georgia, who's running for Senate. yet everything, he's a pastor from hell. And folks, and you better understand something. God's word, the Bible, is very clear. And you will, as we finish this message tonight, you see clearly it teaches that those, if you vote for a wicked person, and you know that person is in favor of abortion, you know that that person's in favor of sodomy, you know that that person, even if he professes to be a pastor, especially embraces everything that God's word, the Bible, calls equity, or iniquity, rather. Well, yeah, today equities be the same. Folks, that's a sin. For you to vote for a person like that is a sin. You better, you know, you got to remember, because God won't forget. God won't forget. Same thing with that Stacey Abrams out there. Who just recently come out and said, the reason for the bad economy, the reason for inflation and the bad is children. We got to do away with these children. That's the problem, because we have children. She's a wicked woman. That woman is a wicked, is a very, very wicked woman. And again, God's word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. For you to vote, for you to say, well, you know, I've learned how to separate my politics from my faith. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. There should be no difference in your politics and your faith. They should be inseparable, one and the same. And for that woman out there in New York, that governor of New York, said they're pro-lifers. Pro-lifers, do you understand? Pro-lifers and people that want to make America great again. Christian people should leave New York. They should go to Florida or Texas someplace. The good and clean and honorable and decent people should leave New York. Well, they are. And they're doing it in very large numbers because of the corruption. Because of the corruption and the wicked leadership in New York. Well, here we read, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, it's an interesting thing, because I had a friend who was in the apostate church, was the United Church of Christ. But this man, this pastor, was saved. And he was a good man. But he got into this apostate, the denomination kept going farther and farther south, farther and farther into the apostasy. And I would tell him, get out of there, Bob. You got to get out of there. Take your people, get out of there. He said, well, Pastor, we're working from changing it on the inside. I said, you can't. You can't. A fish rots from the head down. You've never seen, once a church has apostatized, they don't come back. Once they've apostatized, they're gone. And the Bible tells you to come out from amongst them. To come. This is what the Word of God says. So do it. Let's just listen to the Word of God. Get out of there. Well, it took him 10 years. 10 years. And one day, as I was at the Right to Life booth at the fair, this man came up to me and said, well, I wish I'd listened to you 10 years ago. He said, it's taken 10 years, but I finally understand what you were telling me. And you're right. And I'm here to tell you today that we did. We've now come out from amongst them, and we are now separate from that apostate church. Well, I guess it's better late than never, for sure. I want to go over now to 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John, and I'll get there in a moment, chapter 3. And this is another one of those where a lot of people don't quite understand what it says here, starting with verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. That's right. And you know that he that was manifest to take away our sins, and him in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sin not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, it doesn't mean that you have never sinned, or that you don't, every now and then you don't stumble, okay, and fall. There's a major difference between committing a sin and then continuing in sin. And that's what they're referring to, is the practice of sin. Because we know that even the most faithful believers sometimes they'll trip and they'll sin. So, again, here, he's not talking about those that, again, will stumble. He's talking about people like George Soros and those bought and paid for district attorneys and attorney generals that the Bible describes as whores. It describes them as whores, okay? He's talking about the mainstream media that make their living by lying. They continue, they practice, and they make their living by lying. They embrace sin. He's talking about those, as it says, that eat the sin of their people, that eat the sin of their people. And he's referring to those apostates that actually prosper off the sin of their people. People like you have apostate preachers like Al Sharpton and that would promote Planned Parenthood, and they would get all kinds of money for their campaigns and things from Planned Parenthood or other Antichrist organizations out there that promote their sin. He goes on to say, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, he's talking about those that practice sin. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God hath not committed sin, for the seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Well, in this children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither can he that loveth nor his brother. Well, if we take a look at this here, we all have areas where temptation's strong and habits are hard to conquer. Now, the weakness gives Satan a foothold, so we must deal with them, folks. Here, if we're struggling with, say, a particular sin, but these verses, again, are not directed at us. If for the time we seem to keep on sinning, John is talking about people whose victories are still incomplete. Now, he's talking about people who make a practice of sinning and look for ways to justify it. Again, when you talk about Hollywood, for example, when you talk about Well, how many times have you heard Joe Biden talk about his faith? Here's a man that promotes child killing, the number one issue for the Democratic Party. Then their number one goal is more abortion, killing innocent children. Do you understand? This is what their heart and their conscience is, one of murder. It's one of murder. I remember hearing Jimmy Carter say years ago that he was saying, yes, the Bible does teach that abortion is sin, but he was elected by his constituents to keep abortion legal, and he was going to do that. In other words, Jimmy Carter was saying just exactly the opposite of what Peter said. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. Jimmy Carter say, no, I must obey my constituents rather than God. If Jimmy Carter was a born-again Christian, folks, I'm a pink Cadillac. All right, I want to go now here. Well, I didn't finish. I got to go back here. Okay. He goes on to say, in this, that the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, who doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. Well, I want to now turn over to 1 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 11. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 6, from which some have swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm it. Now, here, there's a couple things, the ways that applies. Theological hair splitting, arguing about tiny details of the Bible that can take us into, often taking you to really irrelevant bypass and cause us to miss the actual intent of God's message. And this is what some of these false teachers at Ephesus were doing. They constructed vast speculative systems and then argued about the minor details of their holy imaginary ideas. In other words, what if this? No, you just stay with what the Word of God teaches. Just stay with that. Okay, those like the apostate that teaches that, well, let me finish this. I want to finish this here. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and for profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, that's sodomites, for men stealers, those are human traffickers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, here, you often will hear these people make statements that are not true, but they'll lead people that are not really biblically literate astray. Those like the apostate church that teaches God is only love, and that God is not judgmental. He's not judgmental, and he accepts us just as we are without any repentance of sin, because there really is no sin. And if you, now most of you probably wouldn't remember, I remember about 15 years ago, there started in Florida, there was this guy who claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be Jesus Christ, the return of Christ. He actually had 666 tattooed on his forehead. He was going around and speaking in the different apostate churches, and he had two whores, two very scantily clad whores, one on either arm. Now, he was saying that he suffered and he died. He suffered a horrible death and he died upon that cross so that we could do whatever we wanted, so we would not be restricted by any laws, by any commandments, that we could live in any way that we wanted to live, totally free, without any laws to worry about, that we could do just whatever we wanted. And that's what he suffered. So, no, believe me, the apostate church loved that message. They loved that message. He was telling them exactly what they wanted to hear. In other words, you could go out, you could commit, you can kill babies by abortion, you can commit sodomy, bestiality, you know, you can do the transgender thing, whatever feels good, you can do it. And this guy claimed to be the Messiah. Well, he just up and disappeared one day. I think God took care of him. And so, the others out there have this mindset, and they teach that God is who we want him to be. God is whomever, that our God can be whomever we want him to be. It's kind of like today, those that are teaching, if you feel like you're a woman today, you could be a woman, even if you're a man, or vice versa. The reprobate mindset. Well, they believe that God is whatever we want God to be. And so, here the feminists believe that he's a lesbian woman. The sodomites believe that God, some of them actually taught that God was a homosexual sodomite. They believe that there's nothing wrong at all with the sacrifice of children, whether it's by abortion or whatever way, there's just nothing wrong with it. If that's what you want to do, and if you have the power to push that and sacrifice these little children, then you should be able to do that. Those that want to legalize pedophilia. Now, their God is a very evil, a lawless, and a very powerful. Their God is Satan. Their God is the deep state God, Satan. And like Satan, their father, they pervert the truth and they twist it into a lie. I want to go now over to Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, starting with verse 36, we read this. And when Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came after him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field." Well, here, he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one." You see, it seems like it's a hard concept for some people, a lot of people, that just can't understand that Satan has his children. The Lord Jesus made it very, very clear when he talked to the Pharisees. And he told them flat outright, "Your father is the devil." And today, we have these people out there. Their father is the devil. Their father is the devil. They're wicked, some of them wicked to the core. And so you have to realize that, that yes, you're fighting with the children of the devil. And he goes on to say, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom and all things that offend, and then which do iniquity, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. Let him hear. And so here, as we see, when we talk about that, we have to realize, first of all, this is God's inerrant word. This will take place. It will take place. There's no chance that it won't. But I have to understand that, I know we have to realize that we're dealing with the children of Satan. And I know it's a hard thing, especially when those very children of Satan happen to be relatives. And boy, today that's much more prevalent than ever before today. I want to go now over to the 12th Psalm. Here, this is a psalm of King David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fall from among the children of men. See, so living for God in a deceitful world can be a pretty difficult and lonely battle today. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. So I know today, especially when people are close to you, you may be tempted to believe the lies that are seems relatively harmless. And sometimes it's even useful if you want to believe those. It may seem that way. But God does not overlook deceit. God does not overlook flattery or boasting. Each of these sins originate right from the pit of hell. They speak vanity one with his neighbor, flattering lips with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Well, folks, this is an amazing thing. Because here David's talking about his enemies, and it's the same with our enemies today. It's the very same. You know, it says that his enemies were like, well, like today. Remember Jim Comey, who met with President Trump, said it's important. And he met with President Trump with flattering lips, lying about having important information about the Russia scandal. He was lying. He was corrupt. Like David's enemies, our enemies don't believe that God will judge them. They believe that they won't have to answer to God or anyone else as long as they have the corrupt deep state to protect them. God's word has been preserved, folks. We're going to take a look at this. He goes on to say, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. That means the Lord will set us in safety from away from our enemies when the time comes. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. We're talking about God's word, the Bible here. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And that's exactly what he's done. There are people that say, well, now, I know that the original manuscripts had no errors and weren't corrupted, but we don't have the original. God said he would preserve it. And there apparently are those that don't believe God can do what he says he'll do. But God, I am totally confident that God has preserved what I have right here in front of me, this King James Bible. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. This has to do with what's happening right now, folks. We have an election coming up. And God's word, the Bible, makes it very clear. Let me read that again. The wicked walk on every side. They are walking on every side. Why? When the vilest men are exalted. When we have Joe Biden, Chuckie Schumer, and people like that in places of authority. The vilest men are exalted. These are very, very sinful people. When we have Merrick Garland, very corrupt Chris Ray. Now just imagine if all the pastors would do like they did in the Old Testament, like John the Baptist did, like the Lord Jesus, would call them out by name. Just imagine if the pastors had the courage to do that. Well, we had Bill Dunphy on here, my friend, the other day, who he did that, like I do it. He did that, and now they're going to try to put him in jail for doing that. But folks, I got to tell you, it's worth it to be counted all glory, to be found worthy. To be found worthy, listen to me. To be found worthy to be jailed for the cause of Christ. I've gone to jail many times, been arrested for preaching the gospel out there in the street. For preaching the truth. And listen, I consider it an honor that to be hated for my Lord's sake, like they hated him. Well, we're out of time for tonight. And so when we get to this point every night, we talk about the most important thing coming. And I think it's time in the next week or so that I revisit that message about, one, about being born again, and two, about being a doer of the word, not just hearers only. The time is come, and such a time as this. God has raised us up. It's very important that people understand the seasons that we're living in. Okay, the Lord's return is imminent. It's going to happen. And folks, you want to be ready. You want to be prepared when it does. You want to place up crowns and glories and treasures and glory. Younger folks can't sometimes understand the urgency as some of us older folks do. But we've been around a while. We've learned a lot. Well, I'm out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, as we always say at this time, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, 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 always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Border Battle, the new six-part documentary series, puts you on the front line of America's southern border and rise of the deadly drug fentanyl.
The overdose death crisis in this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs.
Fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. 3 grains of fentanyl would kill you.
Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and our southern border is a drug cartel war zone.
Now they have sophisticated weapons, tanks. They're dropping explosives on their competitors right by the border. We've never seen this before in the history of the country.
Border Battle shows a border crisis like never before, with exclusive footage exposing the consequences of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and decades of government neglect.
This will get worse before it gets better.
Watch Border Battle from Turning Point USA. Download this shocking 6-part series now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.